This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Hawthorne, Raycon, Upstart, Manscaped, and ExpressVPN. More on that later. Let's get into the dew.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We are over here doing it at the Night Pants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. And again, I'm just going to say it at the top. Again, thank you for real. I mean, I can't thank you enough. This is so much fun. I love laughing at this shit. There are some horrible things people have said that have just made me laugh incredibly hard. And I can't thank you guys enough for the support. I know it's helping. I didn't know it at first, and I believe it now. So thank you for making me a believer in it all. And please, if you haven't already subscribed, go subscribe to the YouTube page. You'll get video there every Tuesday. We drop that audio on Monday. And the Patreon. It's $5 a month. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all. There's no tiers, no levels, none of that shit. All right. You ain't getting a t-shirt. None of that crap. It's just $5 a month. If you're looking for extra content, I do 2 shows a week. And that is an episode with y'all called Honeydew with Y'all, where I highlight the lowlights with y'all. So if you or someone you know has that fucking story that just has to be heard, please email me at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Excuse me. And we'll definitely read those stories, and hopefully we'll get to do an episode together. TheHoneydewPodcast.com is the website here, the social media. Make sure you're on the Facebook fan page. Follow me all over and blah, blah, blah. All right. But Night Pants Nation, I mean, come on, y'all. Y'all turned something so stupid and funny into something real, and that's the magic. All right. And then you cut them off at the knees and made night shorts. Y'all are the shit. Okay. Y'all are the shit. I hope you're comfortable as hell out there, Night Pants Nation. I appreciate y'all during the summer. And Night Shorts Nation, go get your merch and rep the show. And speaking of repping, I always love to rep Santa Monica Music Center. I record here every week. And if you want to take some online music lessons, go to santamonicamusic.com. Use code HONEYDEW. They will give you the registration fee completely waived and a free lesson when you sign up for a package. They're fantastic. I love them here. We're doing good things for the kids. Now, you know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. Today is a bittersweet episode. One of my oldest and dearest friends here is back for, you know, going away for a little bit here, ladies and gentlemen.
Make it sound like I'm going to prison.
I mean, it feels like it, bro. It feels like it. Steve Simone, y'all, back on The Honeydew.
So good to see you, buddy.
Oh, I love you, dude. I do. You know
I love
I
you, too. It's By weird the- that we're doing this as a podcast, though, because I thought we were just going to hang out.
Yeah.
And then you were like, you want to do? And I was like, okay.
Why not?
Why not?
Man? Why not? This is an end of an era for a lot of people. There's a lot of you guys leaving. You do plan to come back at some point, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, the only way I can wrap my head around what's going on is I'm telling myself this is a temporary move because I got nothing in LA right now. Like, the city is shut down for people that don't. I mean, you can't get a haircut. Church is outside. If you can't eat outside at a restaurant, guess what? That restaurant's done. So it's an expensive city. I think I have like 3 buddies that are going to be here. Everybody else I know is going. And when Joey Diaz was, I mean, I've known Joey for 20 years and we actually don't live that far from each other in the Valley. So during quarantine, he was my link to sanity. And we would see each other 3-4 times a week. Keep each other. We would just trade food like baseball cards. I'd be like, Joey, you got to try this.
Yeah. Oh, dog, tremendous. I'm going to go get you some clams. Can you do a linguine with white clams? I go, I never made it. Phenomenal. Home run.
He's been ordering to Jimmy's Crab Cakes and calling me about it, like loving every bit of it. He hooked me up
with one of those crab cakes. It's one of the best things I've ever
done. I'm telling you, dude. They are the shit. He let me be the first ever guest host on the trip. I can't even.
Like, that's an honor.
Dude, it's the end of a big deal. Yeah, it really was. And I told him, we're not stopping your life story. I don't care. We'll Zoom. He will be a Zoom. You know, we're going to take care of that dude. But
so look, this is the way I look at it. So Joey and I were hanging, and then around June. So it was March, April, May. He was going, you're doing the right thing. Stay here. Because my game plan was, I thought rents were going to drop in LA. I thought, okay, 40% of the city is technically unemployed right now. That's some of the statistics were that high. And I went, a lot of people had already left LA. There were people at the beginning of COVID that were like, you know what? I'm out. I'm going to go live with my parents. I'm going to go back to whatever. So I'm like, rents will come down. And Joey was like, yeah, Dean Del Rey found a place that was this much. Now it's this much. So I thought I was going to be able to find a more affordable housing. And I also really had hoped that some sort of innovation was going to happen with like a live streaming stand-up show, which they're doing. But also I thought at some point by May or June, we were going to have limited inside comedy clubs, maybe socially distanced with people with masks. And then I was like, you know, if they stream that show and there's a live audience, because I need an audience to play to. I can't just stand in front of a camera and do stand-up. I'd feel like an idiot. But I thought, okay, that's going to be an exciting next step of what the future of stand-up comedy might be. Mm-hmm. And I really thought whatever was going to happen in stand-up, the Comedy Store would still be the epicenter. And Uncle Joey would be at the forefront. So essentially, I was like, whatever Joey's doing, I'm doing. That's kind of how I was getting through COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And then in June, he started to tell me it's time to go. For me personally, he was like, just go to your mother. What are you doing? Be with your family. There's nothing going to happen here. He goes, every show I had has been canceled. This is bad. This is worse than anybody's saying. So, but I know what a pain in the ass moving is, and I didn't want to do it. You know,
if I didn't have a family here, I'd be gone. I'd be gone. There is nothing here.
Right now. That's why I want to come back.
Yeah.
Because I've really been thinking about this, because I've been reflecting. It's been almost 20 years to the day that I've spent in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost 20 years to the day. And I think the real gift of Los Angeles, at least the LA that I knew that brought me out here, is the great meeting of minds. All these comedians, like that's what I wanted to pursue. Yeah. But everybody from all over the world comes
all
here.
All these broken, fucked up, twisted,
amazing, beautiful, yes, divine,
hilarious,
awesome, hilarious individuals.
Yes.
And I'm just not going to get that anywhere else in the world.
No, you're not.
You're not going to get the back door at the
Comedy
Store.
You ain't getting that in Pensacola.
No way.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm like. I'm like, I have to come back. Like when the Comedy Store comes back, I'm going to come back. But when Joey is the most, I think he's a prophet. That's just my personal feeling. I think God has touched him. So I think when he's telling me to leave, I almost have like this biblical fear that it's time for me to go. Like that's, I know that sounds crazy, but that's how I feel. So Joey's the most street smart dude I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me about the crime that he had started to see. And then, you know, Joe Rogan's more of a hero than a friend, you know, but he's one of the smartest dudes I've ever met. And he has access to the most brilliant minds of this generations. Like every week, that dude's talking to another genius.
Right.
So when the smartest guy I've ever met, who interacts and has the best informed opinion on Los Angeles, when he's gone, when the most street smart, touched by Jesus dude I know is leaving, I'm like, what? I got to go. So I didn't want to accept that. And what I've been telling myself is it's just a temporary move. Wait till we get through the election. Wait until we get through some of this COVID stuff and things start to open up. Hopefully rent will be cheaper. And for now, it's a temporary move just to sort of breathe a little bit, be near my family.
Mm-hmm.
And sit things out on the sidelines, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I selfishly, obviously, you know, I love you and I don't want you to go, but of course I support it 100%. So
Ryan, I don't want to go.
I know you don't.
I don't, but I'm just going, there's nothing here for me right now.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
And it's expensive. I'm like, yeah, I'm just throwing money out of a window every month to what? Sit inside and build puzzles with my girlfriend. I'm like, I could do this for half price somewhere else.
On the beach.
Yeah. For real. And then I was trying to make everything work. You know, I was like, well, if I could find, I don't even mind spending this much money if I found a place I really loved, you know, like a place where you go, all right, I don't mind spending this much money and throwing it away because it's the cost of doing business in LA. And then like 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend's from the Pasadena area. I was up there. I've been looking at places up there for months because she wants to be near her family. And then there's other areas like La Cañada, La Cañada. It's
San
beautiful.
Marina. Oh,
yeah, it's beautiful God, it up is, there. I'm like, where is it? And these places look great online. And then I went to go drive by at night. And I'm like, I can't live there. I can't spend that much money for that place. It's just not going to happen. And for the first time during lockdown, I had legit anxiety where I couldn't sleep. And I was draining Diet Cokes, maybe that the caffeine. But it was 4:30 in the morning. And I'm playing chess in my head. Like, what am I going to do with my furniture? Should I do a garage sale? Should I put stuff up on Craigslist? This and that. And then the walls started to shake. I was up at 4:30 in the morning, and there was a legit, real earthquake. The walls in my apartment literally cracked. That's how close I was to the epicenter. I woke up the next morning, and there's cracks in my walls. So I was really here. It felt like I thought I was just going to go. And as I was doing that, and I was thinking about all my stuff, I really feel like I heard God go, is your stuff really that important right now? And I'm like, nope. And he was like, just pack up your car, give away your things. Whatever doesn't fit in your car, give it away and just go for now. So right now I feel like Jules in Pulp Fiction where I'm just playing, I'm just walking the earth. I'm just going to go walk the earth. I got gigs coming up in Virginia. So I figure I can fly to Virginia, see my brothers in Philly. Then I have shows in Denver. And then after I'm done with the Denver shows, my girlfriend and I, we're just going to go to like Montana, Utah, go see Old Faithful, go see all that stuff, Yellowstone.
Some state park tours.
Yeah, just go see some stuff and look at this transition as a blessing and then see what's next.
I think it's a good plan, man. It's a whole world's on pause.
It is.
So, I mean, obviously we're more on pause, it feels like, than what everyone else is telling me out there and what I'm hearing. But I wanted to share an embarrassing earthquake story with you, because earthquakes, I always like to think I'm, you know, a man, you know, a dude's dude, but there is some shit that shakes me literally to my core, and earthquakes have always made my heart like literally skip a beat, you know, pause for a second, like a boom, like that.
You realize how powerless you really are.
When these buildings are banging and those walls, I've seen what you talked about, the walls bend in. There was one night. And I just hate them. I hate them.
Yeah.
And I'm laying, this is before my daughter's born or anything. I'm in my apartment in my bed, sleeps like 4 a.m. And where I live was Sherman Oaks at the time. And the epicenter was like right in those canyons.
Yeah.
And it might have been a whatever they called it, a 2 or a 3 or whatever. But when you're right there, it's much stronger at the epicenter.
Yeah.
At least it feels
That's why this one 2 weeks ago, I was a couple miles away.
And it was summer.
Feel it.
Yeah, it was summer like now. And my window was open. It's apartment living. So there's other buildings. All right. And I screamed. I came out of a... I came out of a dead sleep. I know the neighborhood. I said, oh, shit, no! And I just ran. I screamed no and I ran my ass off. But I was like, where am
I
going?
Was that your first one?
Hell no. No, I got here right after the Northridge hit. I was driving here. I left that day and got here.
What year was that?
Massive ones. It was 94. And there were massive aftershocks and earthquakes, little ones that would happen after that, too. Yeah. So I've had my share of them. But, man, that one just, I hate them. You know what I mean? Like, I hate them. But I'll say this, that one you're talking about, I slept through it. It's the first one. It's the first one in 2 decades I've slept through.
Well, this is what has me concerned. I only remember 3 earthquakes. Since I've been out here for 20 years, I only remember 3. Most of them. I remember there was one on the 4th of July, I think last summer. My mom was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I didn't even feel it. I was literally walking down the street listening to music while it was happening. I didn't even know what happened. But the only 3 I remember, my first one, I was living. Did you ever get to meet Stevie Z? He was the comedian with cerebral palsy.
I don't think so.
Oh, bro.
I don't think the absolute greatest. I feel like I remember that.
Straight up thug.
Man, you have met some characters.
He was my roommate.
That's what I'm, okay, that's where I'm familiar with it. I don't never met him, but that's why
I
know
who it
is. Did
I ever tell the Vin Diesel story about him on here?
I'm not sure, but I want to hear, listen, let's just go out with a bang and laughs and shit and not be all Corona down and everything. Right, well, let's hear some fat shit. I want to hear some of your old roommates. You've met some characters out here. Characters. Let's hear about them.
All right, my first apartment, was probably just a couple blocks away from here. It was on Berkeley in Santa Monica. Because there used to be a pizza place at 9th and Wilshire called The Slice.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I was in LA for 2 days. My brother's friend was like, well, if you're looking for the best wings in LA, go to this place, The Slice. And actually, it's probably the best pizza in LA.
There's
that
one
I found.
Right by my over in Santa Ocean Monica, Park. Too. Yeah.
Yeah. So they had that was before that one opened up. The original was in 9th and Wilshire. It's not there anymore. So I go in there. The guy, my buddy, who's now one of my best friends, my buddy Brian, was behind the counter. I literally just drove in from Philly. He's like, where are you from? Like, he knew I was not from here. And I was like, oh, I just moved out here from Philly. He's like, yeah, no joke. He's like, you are not Santa Monica at all. So he's like, what do you do? I say, comedy. He goes, do you know Joe Matarese? Joe Matarese was the only comedian I knew in the world at that point. And Brian had gone to college with Joe's brother. They played baseball together at GW. So we became friends. I ate pretty much every meal there. And he offered me a job delivering pizzas. Found me an apartment. God, I forgot these stories. So I lived down here on Berkeley with two dudes I didn't know.
Is this the same apartment Tracy Morgan made breakfast in?
No, that was a Fat James apartment. You got Tracy Morgan up in your crib. What's that say about you? Like, crazy.
Making breakfast shirtless, bro.
Shirtless. I love it. The littlest nipples in the world.
Oh, I love it.
He had the nipples the size of kittens. We were making burgers on a George Foreman grill, scrambling eggs. Fat James cutting heaters and Biggie Smalls shaking the walls at 4 a.m.
Fat James got the party with Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, he used to call Fat James Cookie. Hey, Cookie, you know I love you. The best.
Tracy Morgan loved everybody, man. He did.
Biggest heart in the world.
So love, let me hear dude. About this guy, this roommate here.
So I'm living there. That was my nicest apartment. The nicest apartment I ever lived in LA was the first one I lived in with two strangers. And I told this story once on maybe it was a Crab Feast about when my car, I had the bad transmission and then I had to deliver a pizza. It was caught on a hidden camera show.
Oh, yeah.
That's when I was
yeah.
living at that okay, place. Yeah. So like I had nowhere to go. And I met this dude, Pauly Shore was shooting a movie. My first month in LA was just ridiculous because I was working at the pizza place. Like I got a job right away working at the pizza place. And then I was doing production assistant work for Pauly on something called Pauly Shore's Dead. And we were shooting at a VFW in the Deep Valley. It might've been, I forget, but it's out by like not. Panorama City.
I knew you were going to say Panorama.
Did you?
I was just going to say, we just talked about this on another episode about Panorama City. It was with Santino.
Dude, Panorama City is tremendous.
It's a different world over there, bro.
they were like, you should get a job here. Like at the VFW, they were like, you'd be a great bartender. Because they'd still let the old dudes in there and drink, even though they were shooting a movie. And there was a dude waiting outside who was going to be in the scene of the movie. And he was wearing a Philadelphia Eagles t-shirt and he had like a dumbbell gold chain. And it was my buddy Stevie, who has cerebral palsy, but was also like a bodybuilding thug. That's no lie. Like, so Stevie and I used to watch Eagles games down here at a bar called The Shack. It was at 26 in Wilshire. It was a Philadelphia Eagles bar. So Stevie was like one of my first friends in LA. So when the lease ended on the, I moved in with Stevie for $250 a month. He was living in a Section 8 apartment in Hollywood before it got gentrified. Like it was at McCadden and Sunset.
Yeah.
And I remember there were dudes putting on a roof on our apartment building and the motel next door was all transvestite prostitutes. Every time I walked out of that apartment building, like, and walked down the steps, I felt like Axl Rose getting off the bus and beginning to walk into the jungle. Like, I heard, shh, in the jungle, baby. Like, that's what it felt like. And I remember, like, my toughest guy I ever knew, Jiu-Jitsu Vinny, was like, you got to be careful in this neighborhood. This was a bad neighborhood. Well, anyway, that's where my first earthquake experience was. I was taking a shower, and everything started to shake, and I just ran outside naked with soap in my eyes. I didn't leave the apartment, but I didn't know what to do, and it stopped by the time I was trying to come up with a game plan, but it was crazy.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Hawthorne. Now, I don't know about you guys, but back in the day, my experiences with cologne were horrible. I'm spraying it all over my body on places I shouldn't have been spraying it, burning things, everything else. Back in the day, you had like, you know, polo obsession, all that stuff. But Hawthorne, man, Hawthorne, not just cologne, but they've got all kinds of body products. Ash has been using stuff from the box. My stepson took both the colognes, haven't been able to get that back. There's shampoos, there's everything. Guys, if you're looking for a product that'll help you smell nice and feel good, Hawthorne's got you covered. Ladies, if you're looking to up your man's game, or maybe you all have some teenagers that are staying home right now in quarantine, stinking the place up, this is the stuff, all right? You take a quick two-minute quiz, and then Hawthorne will tell you the two colognes that are best for you. There's one for work. There's one for play. It is totally risk-free with shipping and free returns. All right, so here's what you got to do. And I'm telling you again, we had soap, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, two types of cologne. There's all kinds of stuff you can get out there, okay? It's not just cologne. There's all kinds of great products. Check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co, all right? That's hawthorne.co. And use my promo code HONEYDEW to get 10% off your first purchase. Again, that's hawthorne.co. Use the code HONEYDEW. You'll get 10% off your Hawthorne purchase. Our next sponsor is Raycon. Raycon are my favorite earbuds. Look, hands down, I've got two pair. And again, my stepson Derek took the other ones. I'm listening to everything on them right now. But I'll tell you what sounds smooth and buttery on there. The HONEYDEW, y'all. Sounds good. Listen to your new music. Listen to everything that's out there right now. And they are premium wireless earbuds. And they're half the price of the other guys. I fully recommend them. I got Raycon's newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds. They're the best ones yet. They've got 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass. There's a more compact design, a noise isolating fit. Raycon earbuds are stylish. They're discreet. They don't have any of the dangling wires or stems. The company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Mike Tyson. They're all obsessed with the products, okay? You give them a try. Raycon has a 45-day free return policy, so you can make sure they're the pair of wireless earbuds for you. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/honeydew. That's buyraycon.com/honeydew for a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. Make sure to check it out now while the deal is still running. Buyraycon.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Upstart. You know how I feel about Upstart. They're the best, man. You guys have been getting the loans out there. I've emailed you back about it. I'm so glad you're taking care of yourself financially, and everyone needs to during these economically turbulent times. Everyone's looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and your job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 all the way up to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate, and since it's just a soft pull, it does not affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. And the best part is if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dude.
Anyway, Stevie was one of my best friends, but he was a thug. And
like, why? What do you mean? Was he, what would he do?
He would like, okay, this is a true story.
Yeah, what sort of thug shit did he do?
All right, so I was fortunate enough very early on in my career where I was, Paulie Shore was letting me open up for him.
Mm-hmm.
I may have still been No, this was 2001. So I get to MC for Paulie, and we'd go out on the road sometimes for 2-3 weeks at a time. Now, the night before I'm going to go out on the road, I hear a female voice at like 2 o'clock in the morning with Stevie. And I'm like, oh, Stevie's hooking up, right? So I'm like, great. All my bags are packed. I have to get out and take an early flight. I go back to sleep. I leave. 2-3 weeks later, I come into my, I used to always take a taxi from the airport to the Comedy Store. I wouldn't even go home. I'd go straight from the airport to the Comedy Store and tell everybody what the road was like. Like I felt like Travolta in Greece when everybody's like, tell me more, tell me more. They're like, what's Peoria like? You know what I mean? Because we were doing these and coming off the road. I forget that I'd been to 20 states or whatever in the last 3 weeks. I forget the night before I left, I hear a female voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk into my apartment. It's probably 2 o'clock in the morning. Stevie's passed out. And there's a chick in there scraping bong resin, trying to smoke what was ever left of the weed they were smoking. And I'm like, oh. And she was like, hi, I'm Paradise. I'm Stevie's friend.
Paradise.
Paradise.
Almost paradise. We're knocking on heaven's door.
All right. So I'm like, oh. So the next morning, I'm at, like, Stevie catches me or something before I go to work. And he was like, look, that's my friend Paradise. She came into town for my birthday. She's going to be gone in a couple days. I go, was that the chick? He's like, yeah, she's been here for like 2-3 weeks.
From Welcome to the Jungle to Paradise City, bro. Bro.
Well, it turns out she was a stripper slash prostitute. Okay. And they would get into, they'd get drunk and get into vicious fights.
These two would fight each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, these two would fight each other.
Cerebral palsy and yeah. her, and Paradise.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is not suburban Philadelphia anymore. I'm like, this, how did this become my life? I just wanted to tell jokes. And every night I can hear domestic situations on the other side yeah. of the wall. And I talked to Stevie about it. I'm like, hey, Stevie, this is no good. And he was like, yeah, she's going to get her own place. I Listen, go, I'm not, I go, this,
this
is a one bed
paradise.
This is the opposite of paradise.
I don't know what your idea of paradise is.
Dear God.
It ain't this bitch.
It was, and this is after 9/11. Like, it, life was not good. And
so you actually had to sit down and talk to him about it. I love that. Yeah. I love that you communicate with everybody. It's a great quality. It really is.
Well, I didn't like, dude, it got to the point where I was leaving. I would grab my checkbooks and my passport and never kept cash in the apartment. I would never leave anything there that could not be replaced. Yeah. So, and we were already shit. We were already cramped. He was sleeping on a futon in the living room and I was sleeping in the bedroom. And I'm like, this isn't a healthy environment. You can't have a third person
they
who also happens to be crazy.
All in your paradise fucked all in your bed when you were gone, bro.
For sure.
All in your bed.
Thanks. Yeah. I never even thought
I know you hadn't, and I wanted to make sure. I brought it up for you. I could tell you hadn't thought of it.
Terrible.
As soon as I heard futon in bedroom, I'm like, bro, every time you were out, they were fucking in your bed.
Ugh.
Shit.
Yeah. Oof. All right. So we finally have to have a real heart to heart because he tells me she's going to be in town for 2 days. A week later, I got to talk to him. Now it's a month. So she's essentially lived there for 2 months, not paying rent and just fighting with him. So I take him outside and we have a talk. And I started explaining why I didn't think that she was a good person to cohabitate with and how I didn't feel comfortable there. And he's just going like this. He's like, yep, everything you're saying makes sense. You're absolutely right. But if I have to choose between her or you, I'm going to choose her. So the next day, I just packed up my stuff. That was it. And then I was in with Fat James. And then I went to go live with Fat James after that.
You said you have more. I know you have more Fat James stories. The funniest thing to me, and I'm sorry, I got to say, is that I was saying, like, something happened with the upload and it clipped the end of the story when you and people were going, what the fuck happened to Fat Jay? Oh, I was dying. I go, what happened? Oh shit, it was great. They fixed it. And you gotta go listen to that episode.
To the Fat James wheel story.
Yeah.
But I didn't tell you the Fat James donut story.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. And there was one where there was bullets flying over our head with Stevie Z. I don't know if I told that on a...
I mean, feel free to tell both. Donuts and bullets. Well,
I'll just give you the short version of the bullet story.
We don't need to be short. Well, we're an hour-long podcast.
All right, but I don't want to... Also, here's the thing. I'm fine with sharing everything I've been through. I don't want to ever put somebody else's business on the street.
I know. We know.
You know?
Yes.
All right. But when you would ask me, is Stevie a thug?
Yeah.
Like, he would, like, smoke weed, spend his money on booze. He's hanging out with prostitutes. And then that neighborhood, like I said, was rough.
It was rough.
And there was no, I had no parking. So I had to park blocks away, and I'm with Stevie, and we're having a fight. And this is just the short version of the story.
You and him are?
We would get into
it. Oh, okay.
Because he's my roommate and my friend. That's how you know you really are friends, before you can get into a fight. Anyway, I don't know if it was kids lighting off firecrackers, or was the sound of automatic gunfire. There was a different tone to it. I was under the impression in the moment, I never read a police report, nothing. But in that moment, I believed automatic gunfire, because we're walking. And
it's just best to think that anyway. Yeah.
And I mean, you could see the muzzle flashes, and you heard like yelling before it happened, like, it sounded like a drive-by. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and I could, out of the corner of my eye, I see muzzle flashing. You're like, pop, 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 pop. It wasn't, firecrackers. It was like, sporadic, pop, 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 pop. So I dive over a parked car, right? And I'm between the parked car and the curb. Stevie doesn't break stride. And I went to grab him, and he didn't care. He was like, nope. He had his own reasoning behind it. And I'll tell you that stuff off the air, but he was the real deal. And he became like a competitive bodybuilder after that. Dude's my hero.
He didn't care to go.
No fear.
Plus, he probably couldn't have dove over the car with the policy.
I went to grab him. He pushed me off. He was like, nope.
He's like, listen, Colt Seavers. Get the fuck off of it. Man.
Yeah.
So did you stay friends with him after you moved out?
Yeah, the last time I talked to him was about a year ago.
So who's the donut story then? That's Fat James. All right.
God, I feel like I told this one.
Maybe. I don't know, to be honest. I hear so many stories, but I don't remember a Fat James.
Because I think that the last time we got into Fat James, I just told
it was Wheels. Wheels, the whole build up to he finally met him, and then he said to him, how did it happen? He said to him, how did it happen? He's like, what the fuck?
So what was it?
Yeah, what was it? That's it.
And I just remember, look, Wheels is like this, and he just looks at me. Fat James goes, so what was it? And Wheels just goes, and he looks at me and he goes, what was what? Straight to Fat James. I was like, look, I'll never forget the look. Like, he this is Fat James. What was it? Wheels goes, what was what? Like that. It was... I couldn't believe it.
And then the best part is the anxiety of sitting there waiting, because you know he's going to say what was what.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Please, God, don't.
Oh, my God.
Let me hear about the donuts, dude.
All right. So I loved Fat James, but he also drive me crazy, right? And I know on the last episode, I gave the bill, like, he would watch Friends in the other room and try to get me to come out and watch it, and he's laughing. And he used to have this habit where, like, he couldn't be by himself. You know what I mean? So he would always want me to hang out with him. And he would kind of, like, wake me up in the morning. Like, he would just start talking to me in my doorway. Like, he'd be like, hey, you awake? What are you? All right. So this was it was awful. I was working. I know this sounds like a lie, but I think it's real. And I'm going through all my stuff. And I'm going through, like, if you count stand-up comedy and being on the road and travel days, I did not have a day off for over a year. Because I think at the time I was working at this pizza place down the street from the comedy store. I was working at the comedy store. And I don't think I was working at the gym yet, but maybe I was doing telemarketing. I always had, for my first 10 years in LA, I always had at least 2 day jobs.
I've worked 3 to 5 jobs, seriously.
Right.
Since I've been here.
Right.
Since I've been here.
Right. And I never had like a good office. I never had enough money to take the time to try to find a real office job. And also people I know that took real jobs wound up giving up on comedy. So I was working at least two minimum wage jobs all the time. And then, like, if you count different jobs at the, I'm counting the comedy store as one job.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, back then I found pay stubs, because it's another thing on it. We got $25 a shift to work the door. So if I worked that door on a Sunday and got there at 6 p.m. and stayed to 1 or 2 in the morning, that's still $25 a shift. So I was exhausted. I mean, I've been running at that pace, damn near that pace, for probably 5 years at the time. And then that, say, 2005 year, there was no day off. And I finally have a day where I can sleep in. So I have to talk to James. And I go, James, you can't. I'm going to sleep tonight and do not wake me up. And he goes, I don't wake you up. I go, James, just let me sleep. I don't. No, you know how, yeah, you've been working a lot. Okay, buddy, I need to sleep. No matter what, don't bother me. Well, what if the building catches on fire? James, don't be an ass. You know, just no for no. Now I have to make him repeat it like a little kid. What? I go, James, say, no matter what, I'm not going to wake Steve up. Okay, I gotcha. I go, say the word.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, you're going to, I go, James. All right, no matter what, I won't break you up. Let's look at an emergency if the building catching on fire. I go, fair enough. I go, I'm going to sleep. And I'm asleep. I'm done. And then I'm talking. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, what? And I'm talking to James. And I'm looking at him. I go, James, what time is it? It was 8:30. I go, 8:30 in the... Why are we talking? He's like, because I got the best news. I got to tell you the best news. I go, James, what did I say? And I lose it. Like, I go from, like, talking to realizing what's going on. And now it's Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And I'm just giving it to him. Yeah. And I crossed the line verbally. I'm like, you want to know why you don't have any friends? Because you're so annoying. Why do I have to be the only person that puts up? And he's just taking it. And he went from having the best news in the world to share with me to just getting crushed. And I feel bad for the things I said. And he's just holding the doorknob. And he's just like this. You're right. I should have let you sleep. I go, that's right. He goes, it's just that. He goes, it's just that my dad sent me some extra money. And you've been such a good friend to me. I wanted to share it with you and take you out to breakfast. I'll let you sleep. And he closed the door. And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm going back to bed.
Fuck yeah. I would too. I'm like, fuck your scrambled eggs.
I'm like, yeah. Yeah. So now I'm trying to go back to sleep. And I'm like, I don't care. It's not my fault. You should never have been nice to him. This isn't it. And then toss, I turn. About 4 minutes, 5 minutes goes by. I go, that's it. I'm awake. And I open the door and I go, let's go out to breakfast. And he's gone. He just left. And now I feel like the worst person in the world. Now I can't get back to sleep. So now it's about almost 9 o'clock. I don't fall asleep until 11. He's gone. Around 2 o'clock, I wake up and I open my bedroom door. I'm like, James. And I trip over a box. And it's a box of donuts.
He felt bad.
He felt bad. And he wrote a note. Like, yeah, I wish I kept that note. Dear Steve, you're the only friend I've ever, you're the sweetest guy in the world. I know how much you like donuts. I'm sorry for waking you up. I hope this makes you feel better. It's terrible.
Did you eat those donuts?
I ate those donuts.
Yeah, goddamn right. You eat those
donuts. And I'm thinking about tying together. Like, one of the things I wrote, like, if I look at my hours of stand-up, like, let's say my first one was dedicated to my brothers, and then my next CD was kind of dedicated to my mom, then my next CD was kind of dedicated to my dad. What I'm thinking about for my next hour, at least this was the pre-COVID game plan, and the CD would have been out by now, you know, was talking about friends. Because, I mean, friends are really the best thing in life, you know what I mean? It's like family you get to choose. And I started to really think about some of the best friends I ever had were people I never should have met. You know, where you look at somebody and you go, how? I don't even know how I became friends with
we
this
should
dude.
Have never met Joey Diaz.
Never met Joey Diaz. I should have never regular met Roddy
job
Piper.
Doesn't, yeah, Roddy Piper, yeah.
Joey Diaz.
Tommy Lee. Like, yeah, right. No. It's a weird, weird, great thing.
Great thing.
Yeah, it is.
And that donut story. This is how I was going to end my hour. And I want to reach out to James's dad before I do it. And that's why I feel like there's some stuff about Stevie I want to share, but I don't have his permission. And there's some other stuff about James I would love to share. And I don't want anybody to think I'm like exploiting anybody or anything.
I don't. You're not, though.
That's but
not.
This is what this is true. Like, okay. So that donut story. So I live with James. We were friends. We drove each other crazy, but there was a love there, right? Like, I remember once he hated when I would bring people over. I remember this like 2002, 2003, and Ari Shaffir's hanging out. James just drops his pants. He's like, it's my house too. But he was so heavy that you couldn't even tell he had tighty whities on it because his belly, he had a Kamala belly. Like, yeah, leaned over, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like 2011. I got a phone call from Joey Cerise of Jimmy and Joey fame.
Of course.
They're the absolute greatest.
They
guys,
are.
Guys, look up Jimmy and Joey.
They are the best.
The best. Because there's been so many Jimmys.
Joey stayed consistent, though.
Consistent, heart of gold, love the dude. And he called me because you need to check in on your buddy James. He's not doing well. I go, what? He goes, he's really sick.
This is after you guys were.
Yeah, I moved out 5 years earlier.
Okay.
I moved out in 2006.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our next sponsor, Manscaped, who is the best in men's below the belt grooming. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. And just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology. And when I tell you this is premium, I mean this is premium. Your balls will love it. The battery lasts up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. The water resistant technology allows you to groom in the shower. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. And let's not forget about the charging stand. You can show your mower off loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. That is 20% off and free shipping with the code HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. One more time, 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code HONEYDEW. Our next sponsor is ExpressVPN. All right, so we all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, right? But here's something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. So now that so many of us are stuck at home, it's only a matter of time until you run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. So this whole week, I've been using ExpressVPN to binge Doctor Who on UK Netflix. It's so simple to do. I just fire up the ExpressVPN app. I change my location to the UK. I refresh Netflix and boom, that's it. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. So you can choose from almost 100 different countries. All right. So think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through, but it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. There's Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows is it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD with no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, so your phones, your media consoles, smart TVs, and more. You can watch what you want on a personal device or on the big screen wherever you are. If you visit my special link right now at expressvpn.com/honeydew, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Okay, support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself with ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew.
So, I told this a few times on stage. Because it's a lot of laughs. I'll do the wheel story. And then James didn't make it. Okay. He had a rare form of cancer. And they had a comedian's memorial for him at a place in the valley called Rocco's. We're all mm-hmm. and James was like so in on the Italian comedy circuit. Like, it was great. It looked like central casting in there. For like really? A Ragu commercial.
A Ragu commercial.
That's what it, you know what I mean? It was all guineas and stuff, right? And I show up and Joey is like being the master of ceremonies and stuff. And he's like, oh, I'm so happy you made it. Look, everybody's going to get up there and talk about James. And he goes, I would love if you had a couple words to say. And I'm like, I'm not comfortable with it. You know what I mean? Like, the weirdest thing about me is I want to hang out with you. I love the fact that podcasts exist and stuff, but this kind of all makes me uncomfortable. And I miss making people laugh. I miss being on stage, but I don't miss the attention. Like, I have to pray and really try to figure out what God wants in my life because I don't want to be out there, okay? And even at this memorial, I just wanted to be there and pay my respect, right? But Joey was like, look, it would mean a lot if you could get up there and say something. I'll tell you what, I'm going to put somebody up. I'll come check in on you. And if you want to share something, share it. But he goes, I really think you should because you know him very well out of everybody in here. And I'm like, okay. So he goes, you want to do it? I go, all right. He goes, I'm putting you up next. Like, it's a comedy
yeah,
show.
Next.
He goes, I'm putting you up next. And there's maybe 200 people in this place.
I'll light a candle to give you the time.
He goes like this. He goes like this. I'm not kidding. He goes, this next gentleman was very dear friends with James. He actually lived with James. He lived with James for 4.5 years. And you hear the whole audience go, ugh.
No,
I swear to God. Here everybody goes. Ugh. Joey goes, do you believe that 4.5 years, this man's a saint. Give it up for Steve Sibley. I swear to God. I was like, nobody would ever believe this.
They groaned in his view.
Yes, that's not a lie. They go, this man lived with Steve for 4.5 years. And you're ever to go, ugh.
Fantastic.
I can't believe this is my life.
Oh my God, dude. That is so good.
And then I told the donut story. Yeah. And everybody's like, that's the perfect James story. He'll yeah. drive you crazy, but he had a heart of gold. Yeah. You know? And I think the reason why I want to share that, if I can get his dad's permission, it's like, share that, put it out there. And then, like, I think the real lesson is like, love everybody you meet. Because when they're gone, like, I miss Fat Jane. You know, like, I found some old pictures and I'm like, man, it would be fun to be hanging out with that dude right now. Wearing, he had a purple suit, tremendous doo-wop voice.
Really? That's right. You did say he could sing.
Yeah. Oh, his license plate said doo-wop.
Yeah.
He doo-wop. Killed it. It's weird who you miss.
It's weird who you meet, and it's definitely weird who you miss.
Yeah.
That is the damn truth.
Like, I'm looking back at this last 20 years, and I'm yeah. just like, I have to, like, for me, this is just a vacation. I'm coming back, but, like, there's so much uncertainty right now. Like, I was at the Comedy Store the last 3 Saturday nights just hanging out. And I'm like, okay, when this place comes back, I'll be back. But I don't know when that's going to be. And when it comes back, without Rogan, without Joey Diaz, it's not the same club.
Mm-hmm.
Just not going to be the same club. But I was conscious of enjoying the last 5-year run at that place.
What a time, man.
It's insane.
Insane.
It was crazy. Insane. It was absolutely crazy. Like, I had a buddy of mine.
It was every bit of that.
I had a buddy of mine, a real smart business dude. And he was telling me, he was like, hey, man, work cruise ship. He was like, just make as much money as you can. Cause he was telling me that the economy was going to tank a year ago before COVID. And he was like, you need to get yourself a house. You need to start thinking about retirement. Da, 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 da. And he was like, you know, he was pretty much telling me like, just be on the road as much as possible and who cares, whatever. But then he came to visit me at the Comedy Store one night and like, we're talking to Bill Burr and he sees Whitney Cummings. He's like, is that Joe Rogan? And Rogan's like, what's up, Steve? And then after that, he was like, no, stay here. He was yeah. like, don't take easy money on the road. He goes, just be a part of this. He goes, this is incredible. And I knew it. I knew it was a really special place. I knew it was a special time in comedy in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. It's going to be great to get out on the road and start seeing people again and start doing stand-up. But how long do you think it's going to be until we can do real shows?
I have no idea. I mean, no one does. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? It could be a year. It could be two. Who knows? I mean, I don't know if they're going to let us, but I imagine until sports, live sports is a thing again.
Is that so weird watching sports with no fans?
Yeah. I mean, I listen to baseball.
Me too. So, I'm so at that age too. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, your Orioles destroyed my Phillies last week.
Yeah. They're shooting off fireworks and pumping in crowd noise and all. So that sounds fine.
Yes.
But that's so true. I don't know. I don't know. It's just a weird time. But, you know, also think about it. And I look back at all these old black and white pictures of people wearing masks. Their pets have masks on. Yeah. I mean, we've been through this shit before. Absolutely. As a race, a human race. And obviously we haven't been wearing masks since we've been born. So we come out of it. So I don't know. It's
everything goes like
this, man. Going to be, it will come back. But in the meantime, it's a different time for
different, right?
A lot of people, even outside of entertainment.
Everybody's going through
so many people who I was thinking about the beer guy the other night. That beer guy don't have a job right now. No. You know what I'm saying? But why is that guy's gone right now?
I remember seeing a report
many jobs
when LeBron left Cleveland. And that was one dude that left Cleveland. And they were talking about it devastated the economy there. And I'm like, there's nothing right now. No baseball, no football. You can't go see anything.
Mm-hmm. So many people out of work. So many people. Yeah, it's a tough time for a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
But I am going to miss you, dude. We've had a lot of fun fucking times.
Yeah.
A lot of fun fucking times. I'm glad to hear you're going to come back. I'm here.
Yeah, man.
You know, I'm staying right here.
And if the apocalypse jumps off, you'll have a place with me in Florida.
I appreciate it. If the apocalypse jumps off, I think we're all done. So it don't matter where you are. I'll stay out here in 75 and sunny. You know what I'm saying?
You can't beat the weather.
You can't.
No. Yeah. Just weird. It's crazy times. And it's weird that, like, we're doing this podcast, and I was like, I don't know what stories I got. And you're like, well, tell another Fat James story. And now I feel like we're having our sort of, like, goodbye with the cameras on. It's weird. I don't know. Crazy.
You got some more Fat James story? I love that he got to hang out with Tracy Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
Cookie, huh?
Called him Cookie. Dice used to call Fat James Chip. Because he used to call, he told James he should change his state. He should use the stage name Chips Keebler Jr. And maybe that's why Tracy Morgan called him Cookie. But I don't know. I do know the last time I got to see Tracy Morgan, he just picked up. I mean, does that with you too, right? Mid-sentence, same spot.
I think you said reunited.
Yeah, same spot.
He's got
the best.
I don't know what that is.
Didn't you go to the Playboy Mansion with him?
Not with him. I went, and when I turned the corner, you know, we were outside, and there was Friday Night Fights live there.
How did you get to the Playboy Mansion?
Well, which time? I've been there two times.
I want to hear about both.
The first time I got to the Playboy Mansion because when I first moved here, this was 1997, 1998.
So your first time out here was in 94, right after
the college, and then I went back, graduated at Towson, finished up, saved what I thought was a ton of money and $5,000, and headed west in my 1990 Honda Civic with original rims. And I stay with my friends Rick and Kevin for a minute until I find a place in the valley, and I move out there. And I'm living in this little, like, it is a white trash Melrose place, you know what I mean? Same layout and shit, but it ain't the same. You know, it ain't the same. This is the neighborhood I think I've told you where I would jog and all the Mexican dudes would tell me I'm the only white guy in the neighborhood and shit. And the first night there, the cops come to the building and tell us that there's some gang activity in a building a couple down and there's chalking a body on the street. And I was
where
like,
was this, Van Nuys?
This is North Hollywood at the corner of Fulton and Sherman Way. And also in the 19 whatever.
Yeah, it's weird how neighborhoods change, right?
So it's a rough neighborhood, and it had these old ass windows, these glass windows. Those I've never seen them anywhere over here, but the slats, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah,
you crank
them
and they open up.
Sometimes they're frosted.
Yeah, no screen.
Yep.
So I would open them, and I'd get in the shower. When I come out of the shower, there'd be like three fucking cats in my apartment. I'm like, where the fuck are these cats coming from? So I start seeing this lady and I start, you know, hey man, your cats are running in my apartment. You know, I'm animal friendly, but I don't need three of your cats coming in pissing and everything else. You know, oh, whatever. And I'm like, oh, this bitch is all sauced up.
Yeah.
So it keeps happening and it keeps happening. And then finally she puts a nasty note on my car because she says I parked too close to her space or whatever. So I went to her door and I knocked on her door and I go, look, man, you got these fucking cats running in and out of my place. So we're either going to be cool or we're going to have problems. Which is it going to be? And she's like, yeah, we can be cool. And I was like, great. And her name was Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
And she would come by my place all the time, sauced up.
Yeah.
And every night it was a snake, a chinchilla.
How many animals did she have?
They kept coming. I'd hear birds or police reeked of urine. Like even when you get near the front door, reeked of urine.
Yeah.
So many cats and everything. And finally, she brought a snake in. I'm like, get that fucking thing out of here. And she's laughing. I go, what the fuck do you do?
Yeah. What did
you do? Where are you getting these animals? Yeah. And she's like, I'm Hugh Hefner's number two zookeeper. And I was like, bullshit. You're full of shit. You're just some fucking drunk lady that likes pets and parakeets and shit. You know, number two, bro. She ain't ever gonna be number one.
I'm not number one.
That's right.
I'm on the team.
But honestly, she could have lied, but yeah, she was clear.
Yeah,
she said I'm his number two zookeeper, and I was like, bullshit. And she goes, "What do I got to do to prove it to you?" I go, you can let me come to the Playboy Mansion and see what you do. And she's like, when do you want to come? And I'm like, tomorrow. And she goes, okay. And I was like, so the next day comes and she gives me the address and I drive again, my 1990 Honda Civic with original rims. I have a picture of this over to the Playboy Mansion, the service gate.
Wow.
And I ring the thing. And I say,
how did you even find it? This is before MapQuest. She gave me the address.
Yeah.
But do you have one of the Thomas guys?
No, you know what? I never used a Thomas guide. I would just drive. And I knew where Beverly Glen was. And she'd be like, you take the first left off of that, boom, boom, and it's right there. I was like, great. So I get there and I buzz the gate and they're like, you know, whatever they answer. And I say, hey, I'm Ryan Sickler. I'm here for Debbie. And then I hear it hang up, and I'm like, I'm fucking do it. And then the gate starts to open. I'm like, and I drive that little motherfucking Honda Civic into Hugh Hefner's driveway, and I park it in front of the mansion, which you don't get to do. I have a photo of it.
Wow.
It is parked in front of the mansion. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So then she starts taking me. I'm like, you really do work? She's like, yeah, I really work here. So she takes me in, like he's got like almost like a God, I don't know what you call it, where the iguanas and the snakes and everything are, like for lack of a better term, it was like a little rainforest area, you know, tropical area, small little thing. But then there were albino peacocks, and there were which I had never even seen.
No.
And then there was this cage with these mini monkeys, these little monkeys.
I was going to ask you about monkeys.
Yeah, dude. And
did he have chimps too?
Not, I wouldn't have fucked with you because they can rip your face off.
Yeah. Remember that guy that brought the birthday cake and they ripped his testicles off?
No.
That's a real story.
Where?
The guy had like a baby chimp and he donated it to the zoo. He like, the chimp had a special time. had a special spot in his heart. So he'd remember the chimp on his birthday. And he showed up expecting the chimp to pull out the candles. And he ripped his testicles.
He thought he had one of those lion reunited moments. That's a true story. I got his nuts ripped off.
Yeah, because I still want to kind of have a chimp, but I think about that.
No, you don't, dude. No,
yeah, because they have the strength like four or five men.
Anyway, these little monkeys are in this cage. We're in a room like this, and they're way up there, you know. And she's like, I'm going to step out. I'm like, don't step out. She's like, I'm going to use your cameras. Back then, I had a VHS-C camera, the compact VHS that went in. And she's shooting it for me. I don't even know where the fuck that is. And these things just descend. And I'm giving them grapes, and they are like, boom, on my shoulder, boom. And they had the hands were about this big, but it was so creepy. It was it was fleshy. And it would touch your skin. It was like, oh, it'd be like these mini, mini, mini hands touching.
Yeah.
Like, so then.
Like raccoon hands.
Yeah, but fleshy, you know, like feeling like our skin. Yeah.
Weird.
So then she took me in into like the playroom and like this it was just a fuck room, and the floor, it must have been this thick padded, like you would sink into it just so you could floor. Just it's probably an orgy floor.
What's an orgy like?
I'm guessing just you know, everybody you. All lay comfortable and fuck each other.
I've never been. It's
probably something for the kids. I don't know. I'm just calling it an orgy floor. But I got to go into the grotto and into the like the hot tub and the pool area and everything, all of it. So I was like, holy shit, this alcoholic lady is legit for that, at least. So that's how we start off. The second time, the Tracy Morgan time, a friend of ours, Zoomy, back home, he hit us up and he was like, yo, I ever tell you, I think his sister was Biz Markie's business manager.
That's great.
And so Biz was DJing the ESPY after party
for
Jamie Foxx. Yep. And then he was also DJing the Playboy Mansion party that they had before the ESPYs.
I remember I was like parking cars for that ESPYs.
Really?
Yeah, something so, like helping people get in and out of cars.
So he's like, we're coming out. Do you guys want to be our guests to the Playboy Mansion party? And then we can't go to the ESPYs, but we can go to the after party.
That's where you want to go anyway.
At the Sky Bar, right there across Mondrian. From the store at the Mondrian. Yeah. I'm like, fuck yeah. And I've already been to the Playboy Mansion, so I know the lay of the land. I know where we're going. I know. So we get on shuttles. First of all, we're like, how the fuck do you not ever tell us that your sister works with, like, Biz?
I mean, the
Jesus
greatest.
Christ, he's iconic. So we get on the shuttles at the Mondrian, across from the store, take us down through the neighborhoods. And I'm on the shuttle with Peyton Manning. We're on the shuttle with Antonio Tarver at the time, Olympic
Everybody,
athlete.
Yeah. It's an amazing event. The ESPYs is so cool.
And we're in the back just making people laugh, and we're having a good time because we're not any of them. You know what I mean? So we get to the LeVar Arrington was there, and his wife or girlfriend. I mean, man, we get there, and it's just everyone that's not currently in season. There was no NHL players. I think the NBA players were not there, but there was football, a couple other sports. Live boxing, or ESPN boxing right there, Friday night fight. And I ended up being friendly this night with these two twins, these girls that were Olympic athletes who were, I don't know if they were swimmers or gymnasts. They were cool as shit. And they just rolled with us and hung out with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're seeing Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. You're also realizing how big these motherfuckers are, you know? And you're seeing a guy like Troy Aikman or fucking Peyton Manning, and you're thinking, well, if he's that big and these linemen are bigger than him, like, Jesus Christ, the size of these people. So there's hot chicks and there's the Playboy bunnies. And I'll tell you what, the women that came with the men or were invited were 10 times hotter than the Playboy girls. They had body makeup on and shit. There's the fucking grottos going on. There are people back there. And I'm like, I've seen the albino peacocks. You know what I mean? I'm like, I fed the monkeys. They're like, what? Because you can't park up there. So, you know, we're going around, whatever. And then we turn the corner and here comes Tracy Morgan. And it's like you said, it's a little over a year. He's like, Ryan Sickler. And it is boom. And no one can believe I know him. And he's being so nice to me.
You're instantly the coolest dude there.
And he's like, you're rolling with us. And then the rest of the night, we just walked around with Tracy and let Tracy be Tracy and hung out with him. And he's
the greatest.
And here's the other thing.
Tracy Morgan.
Peyton Manning. This is my boy, Ryan Sickler. He's a hilarious comedian. That's every single introduction, no matter to who it was. He was fucking having your back on that. I'm like, what the fuck?
Greatest dude.
He really is. He is so fucking nice.
Yeah, I can't wait to run into him again. I can't wait. Did I ever tell you my Hugh Hefner story? Part of the reason why I moved here? I'll tell you the short version. Because I know, I just always feel like I told you all this stuff before. But I've been out here on vacation. This is my vacation in LA. And before I ever moved here. And the two dudes I was out here on vacation with, my best friend Pete, was my best friend in college. And he wound up setting a New Jersey State bench press record. Like, but the nicest guy in the world. But like, and he looked like a cop, but like a jack cop. But his buddy, God rest his soul, my buddy Adam, was one of the largest human beings I'd ever seen in my life, who was like a prison guard and like bounced in strip clubs. And he was so, had such a presence that wherever we went with that dude, we got noticed. Mm-hmm. And he would get offered jobs. Like he took an extra cycle of steroids because he was going to the Mecca to go to Gold's Gym. Like he was like, I'm gonna hang and bang at Gold's, like Hulk Hogan. And he was like doing incline bench presses at Gold's with like 550 pounds for reps, just because he wanted everybody to stare at him. He was giant. I remember when I introduced him to like Dice at the Comedy Store, he was like, I want that guy to be my bodyguard. He goes, he just has that kind of and presence.
Did he?
No, because he went back to Jersey and that was it. He was like, whatever. But he was also hilarious, like one of the funniest dudes I ever met. Like he was the one, like when he would, there would be fights in clubs that he was bouncing at, he would just yell hot soup because people get out of the way.
Soup.
Yeah. he would just go hot soup, and people go like that. So that became his catchphrase was hot soup.
That's so good.
Before we knew it was called the rear naked choke, he would put people in the sleeper just for laughs. He's like, Sally Gratz. He would call me Sally Graziano because he was a pro wrestler. He was like, Sally Gratz. He goes, that sleeper hold works. Like he was just such an idiot. He would try pro wrestling moves on people and stuff like that.
Just right. Testing him out because he was just so big and yeah. He could. Yeah.
He told me that he started doing steroids when he was in high school. He goes, Sally Gratz, I never saw the 200s. I go, what? He goes, I was 195 pounds when I started taking Anadrol and whatever else he was on. He goes, and 3 weeks later, I was 320.
He weighed 320?
He was at his biggest, probably like 360 pounds. He was
of solid muscle?
No, he had a belly.
Oh, okay.
But like, you know, those big power lifter dudes?
Yeah, like the mountain, that strongest man. The guys that are, you know, squat rack and cheerleading squats.
Yeah, my buddy Robert. My buddy competes with in the World's Strongest Man. My buddy Robert Obers. Yeah. He's 400 pounds.
Yeah, those
he's
guys.
Gigantic.
Gotcha.
So he was like a smaller version of that. You don't see that every day. Anyway, long story short, I don't want to put it. So I'm at the improv. Like this dude is just going, doing his thing. And then I'm at the improv and I meet a famous comedian. I know I told this on the, I had to have told this on, I think I probably told this on the Feast. So anyway, we go to a strip club and Pete and Adam pick me up and I'm like, we're going to meet so-and-so at this club. And they're like, no, we're not. He was like a famous comedian who was just super cool to me. So I walk in there. I'm a full-blown idiot. I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I got Spain and Pete with me, but they're just my friends. But then they had this one strip club. They had like these little velvet ropes, and I see the famous comedian. He invites me over for a drink. Now, Adam and Pete are starstruck, and they don't come up. So they're just like standing in front of the velvet rope because they're idiots. But if you're watching this from a distance, you might think they were my bodyguards. You might think that. Okay? I'm not saying I never told anybody that. You might think that. So then we're hanging out. I leave. So now I'm hanging out with.
Do you not want to say who the comedian is?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I think maybe I did in the past, but
fine.
The older I get, the more I go, why ever mention somebody's name? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you
I
never.
Do, yeah.
So we're, and I have a drink with him and I'm like, I'm totally moving here. This would never happen in Philly. This is crazy. And that dude, that comedian told me to move out here. He was like, you're crazy enough to actually make it in this business. So I'm talking to my buddies. And then I get a tap on the shoulder and we're all like, this is all so surreal and crazy. And I've seen this dude after when Hugh Hefner came to the Comedy Store and they swept the building like he was a head of state, his security detail. And there are certain people that just have a presence. Like you don't have to be a gorilla to have a presence. This gentleman was like balding mustache, a little bit older, but he just had a presence that if he asked you to do something, you said yes. And I looked down, he had a little lapel with a gold bunny on it. And he's wearing a suit. Like, you're like, this dude is, he looked like Secret Service. You know, those dudes just have a presence. And he said, Mr. Hefner would like to invite you over for a drink. And I'm like, what? And he steps out of the way. And then in another booth was Hugh Hefner with like the 6 or 7 blondes he was dating at the time. And like one brunette. And I'm like, and my friends were like, what is going on here? So now they're doing the same thing and I sit down and I'm like,
you're sitting with Hugh Hefner?
Yeah, and 6 girls.
Just the two of you and the girls?
Yes.
And why did he want...
Okay, here's the thing. I would lie as a younger man.
Here we go. Yeah.
Like chunking Goonies, right? Like, and I think it just comes from insecurity. I know this is the honeydew. I want to be, I'm as open as I can about myself. I think, like, for whatever reason in life, we all get damaged in our own unique way. And I don't think, for whatever reason, somewhere in my psychological development, I started to maybe felt like, no, I think it's very human to just not feel worthy, you know? And especially when I got drunk, I would tell lies to try to get people to like exaggerate or just get people to like me, give people verbal reasons to hang out with me. Like if you said you were from Kansas, I'd be like, oh, I have cousins in Kansas. Oh yeah. You know, like just cause I wanted to connect, and it's very sad and needy, but this really happened, right? So I'm hanging out. Here's Hugh Hefner, and there's champagne, and there's all these girls. And I'm just like, what is going on here? So then I'm talking to like the two girls on the end. It's like girl, me, and then everybody else. And I'm making them laugh and stuff. And then the one girl, they're over here whispering. And then the one girl, this is after.
But has he introduced himself at all?
Yeah. Or anything? Okay. Yeah, have a drink. And I'm like, what is going on here? So then the one girl's just staring at me because I'm not lying. At this point, I know not though. I'm just being cool. I'm just being open and honest.
Act like you've been there. Yeah.
Right. But I'm not like, oh, I'm doing this and that. So then the one girl asked me and she goes, now what's the name of the show that you're on again? And I go, oh, I'm not on a TV show. Right. And then the other goes like, oh, and they're like, oh. And I'm like, you know, I want to do comedy and stuff. And then they're like, oh, okay. And then one girl's still being nice to me. Then it's whispered down the line. And then the dude, the shaved head.
Secret Service.
Yeah, Secret back. Service dude comes back and he just goes, thank you for your time. And I went, thank you for your time. And I just got up. I was like, how did this even happen? But the problem is when I went back to Philly, everybody was like, that didn't happen. Oh, that's just like the time Michael Jackson used your bathroom. They were chunking Goonies. He was like, no, the Fratellis are real. But it was one of the reasons why I moved out here.
That's hilarious. Because of a mistake.
Yep. Because what it probably was, if I were to piece it together, and I don't know, maybe they just saw me being an idiot and wanted me, but they probably saw my buddies, thought I was somebody. I'm not. And then at least I got to sit down with an American icon for a few minutes.
I love it, dude.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
But I was never to the mansion.
Yeah.
If you think about Playboy, it's a little creepy, too, now.
It's very creepy, yeah. Very creepy. It's a whole, it was an empire built on that thing, too. It's
disgusting, if you really think about it. Joe Rogan had the best bit about that. Oh, they think they're very lucky, talking about eating the Viagra. Yeah. Lucky girl.
I did always want to go to Midsummer Night's Dream was the party they Pauly always talked about.
Paulie would go
about.
Every
I'll
year.
Bet. I'll bet. Yeah. And it was, that party, too, was nuts, because the front lawn was vendors. But like high-end vendors like Cuban cigars and shit.
And it was all free?
Oh, all of it. All of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely all of it. What a time.
Different times, man.
Well, I love you, brother.
I love you, too.
I wish you well on this next little mini chapter.
I'll be back, dude.
I hope so.
We got to do our thing.
I know. We're going to do it. We got an email. I know. Yeah. We sure did. Well, when life comes back, it's on, bro.
Good.
I love you, dude. Thank you for doing this. And it was great to get you here. I mean, this thing won't come out. You'll be gone when this comes out.
When's it going to come out?
A few weeks.
Okay.
So thank you, dude.
Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to promote here?
Because I should be theoretically, who knows in this world, but theoretically, I'm supposed to be at the Arlington Draft House the 5th and 6th of September. That's Labor Day weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I'm not doing Friday. I don't know why. But Saturday and Sunday, and then the 16th through the 20th at the Denver Comedy Works South. I think I'm still supposed to be there for that.
All right.
So,
well, thank you, brother. And take care of yourself. Let's go get some lunch.
Let's go eat.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.